Welcome. Buddy Hunt will be bringing our message today. He is our regional ministry partner for Oklahoma Baptist, and he'll be preaching out of Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, and the title of the message, The Greatest Mystery of All Time.
Well, I want to talk to you today about the greatest mystery of all. And I hope you'll follow along in your outline that was in your bulletin, but also in your Bible. So you want to open your Bible to Colossians chapter 1, there in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 29. I want to help us today understand the greatest mystery of all time. Now, in the Bible, mystery doesn't mean something that is permanently hidden forever and ever. It describes a truth that was secret for a little time, for a little while, but later on it was revealed. It was fully revealed in the right time. It's a mystery of truth, by the way, that God doesn't want you to miss out on as a Christian. God wants you to be aware of this mystery, of this truth. He wants you to realize this truth and live out this truth. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Let me describe this mystery, first of all. And again, follow along your outline there in the bulletin. First, the power behind this mystery is so great that it can give you strength in the most painful times of your life. It can get you through those hard times, those difficult times, those storms of your life. This mystery, this truth can help you endure. Now, think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul suffered more than most of us here can ever imagine. You know, by his own admission in 2 Corinthians, he talks about the fact that he was beaten 8 times. The fact that he was shipwrecked 3 times. And then one time he was stoned so badly they left him for dead. They thought he was dead. Now, probably none of us have been through all of that kind of suffering, but the Apostle Paul went through it. And guess what? Rather than complaining or griping or becoming negative about all that suffering, he rejoiced, it says, in his suffering. He boasted in his suffering. He thanked God for his suffering. He had uncovered a mystery, a truth, that enabled him to deal with pain and adversity with a positive attitude. In fact, such a positive attitude that he could boast about it and rejoice in that pain and suffering. Instead of complaining while he was there in prison, Paul wrote this in Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. He's in prison. He writes to the church here and he says, now I rejoice in the suffering I'm going through, in the imprisonment I'm going through. You see, now Paul wanted to be free to be able to go around and plant churches and preach the word of Christ. But he discovered a mystery, a secret that had allowed him not just to survive while he was there in prison, but to be able to thrive while he was in prison. Think about it. While he was there sitting in prison, waiting to be executed, he wrote the book of Philemon, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Have you started maybe to get an idea about this mystery I'm talking about? Have you uncovered this mysterious power that enables you not just survive during tough times, but actually thrive and rejoice during the tough times? Well, second, this mystery was not something that had been known forever. Paul described it like this here in Colossians 1, verse 26. He said, the mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed. In other words, this mystery was not revealed to the people during the Old Testament times. And remember the promise of God in Isaiah chapter 40? Most of you know that promise. You live by it. You've quoted it. You sing about it. It says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, folks, Isaiah 40:31 is an absolute promise from God to each one of us. But how does he actually strengthen his children? Well, that's part of this mystery that we're going to talk about this morning. But third, the answer to this mystery will make you perfect and mature. Perfect and mature. Paul wrote there in verse 28 of Colossians 1, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Perfect in Christ. Now that word perfect in this case doesn't mean without flaw. Here it means whole. It means complete is what it means. Now during Old Testament times, people lived under the law. And the only way to be a complete person, a fulfilled person, was to keep the law. In other words, during the Old Testament time, they existed under this performance mentality in which righteousness was established by how good they acted, how many laws they obeyed, how many good deeds they did. But this mystery that comes along here now in Colossians is a whole new standard. So maybe you're starting to understand this mystery. Maybe, in fact, you've even figured it out. But let's look now at Colossians 1. I'm going to read the whole passage there. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave to me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So the greatest mystery of all time, the greatest truth of all time, is simply this: Christ in you. Christ in you. Now, again, it's simple, but at the same time, it's amazing. It's profound when you really think about it and understand what it means to have Christ in you. You see, listen, church, listen, Christian. Christ in you enables you to be strong during suffering, during difficult times, during the storms of life. Christ in you is how God fulfills his promises, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Christ in you is the only way that you can become mature and a complete person. Perfect, as it says there, meaning complete. When I was at Oklahoma Baptist University as a student, I did a pastoral internship there in my home church, Emmanuel Baptist Shawnee, under my home pastor, Brother Larry Adams. And during that internship, he gave me a book called The Saving Life of Christ by Major I.N. Thomas. And he told me that this book would help me understand how to make it as a pastor, how to survive as a pastor. And Major I.N. Thomas said this in the book. He said, the New Testament teaches the dual truths of how we are in Christ, but also how Christ is in us. How we're in Christ, but Christ is in us. And then he went on and explained it this way in the book. He said, to be in Christ, that makes you fit for heaven. But for Christ to be in you, that makes you fit for earth. To be in Christ, that changes your destination. But for Christ to be in you, that changes your destiny. To be in Christ makes heaven your home. But for Christ to be in you makes this world God's workshop. Well, that's the mystery that helps us understand the Christian life, that helps us live the Christian life out there in the everyday world. So I want to share with you now how this mystery, how this truth, Christ in you, relates to us and how it can change the way that we live. So again, continue on your outline. First, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ, where he actually lives in you. Now, you probably say, you know, I've heard that many times. Yeah, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus. But as you really understand that last part, think about this. This is really mind-boggling. It is a relationship where Jesus Christ actually lives in you. Now, as adults, we teach our children, you know, grandparents will teach our grandchildren that, you know, wherever you go, Jesus is with you. Whatever you're doing, Jesus is watching you, right? How many of y'all have ever talked that to your, we all have at times. Said, got to remember, Jesus is with. But do we as adults fully grasp what that means? It means that Christ is actually living his life in and through us. He is in us. And it is true, adults. Wherever you go, whatever you do, Jesus is watching you just like he's watching your children or your grandchildren. He's watching you because he lives in us. See, when you invite Jesus to come into your life as your Lord and Savior, he becomes the owner of your life. He becomes the boss of your life. He owns you. It's at that point you transfer the title deed of your life from you over to him. And now he owns you. It's just like when you go buy a house. If you ever bought a house, you have to sign that paperwork, and the old owners, they sign the deed of the house over to you, and now it becomes your house. Well, listen, your body, who you are, your personality, everything about you, when you are saved, you transfer the ownership over to Jesus. No longer do you own yourself, Jesus owns you. He lives in you. He becomes the boss of your life. That's what happens when you surrender to Jesus. That's what it means to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He's not just your Savior. He is your Lord. Lord and Savior. Jesus died on the cross so that we can die to ourselves so He can live in us. Christ cannot live in us until we die to ourselves. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I died to self, he said. Christ lives in me. I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 7 years of age. And I remember when I was in the ninth grade, I was a member of the youth group there, church at Trinity Baptist Church in Norman. And as a youth group, we went on a mission trip to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. During the day, we were doing backyard Bible clubs and vacation Bible school. But at night, we were helping that church there in Cedar Rapids with a revival. They had a preacher, an evangelist. I don't remember his name, but he was preaching. And our youth choir was leading the worship. We were leading the singing. And I remember one of those services, that preacher preached that message from Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then he explained that verse to all the people in the church and to our youth choir. And that was the first time I'd really ever heard it explained to me that when you become a Christian, this is what it means. What I've been preaching, that you are dead to self, that you've got to die to self so you can be alive in Christ. You've got to be dead to Buddy Hunt so Christ can live in you. First time I heard that message, and that night during the invitation, several of us, including myself, we went forward and said, listen, I'm a Christian, but I want to die to self. And that night, a bunch of our students there, we died right there at the altar. We died to self and became fully alive in Jesus Christ. And guess what, church? That's a commitment that I make every day. Every morning as I get up, or as I'm driving like to the next church to help on Monday or Tuesday or whatever, I say, God, please, I'm dead to self, live to you. Once again, I'm going to renew that commitment. I'm dying to self. It's not about Buddy today. I need you to speak through me. God, help me not to do anything or say anything that you wouldn't have me do. You say and do everything in and through me because I am dead to self. So really, that's a commitment we need to make every single day. And listen, if we don't, the problem is we forget to make commitment, and a week, 2 or 3 weeks go by, and what happens? We start living our life for ourselves again instead of for Jesus. Even though He's in us, we kind of take over the front seat and put Jesus in the back seat. We got to die to self every day. See, Jesus died on the cross so we can die to ourselves so He can live in us. The essence of the Christian life is not I, but Christ lives in me. That's why baptism is a picture of what happens when we receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you come out here and you're baptizing someone, you know, typically the preacher says, kind of like I do, we say, buried with Christ in baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. It's a picture. Baptism is a picture of what happens when you pray to Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. You are buried with Christ, dead to self, but you're alive in Christ, resurrected as a new person, just as Jesus was resurrected out of the grave. Dead to self, alive in Christ, a brand new person. And that old life, when you accept Jesus, it's gone. It's done with. God doesn't remember that. Now, sometimes the church remembers that old life, which is a big mistake. Because God doesn't remember it. You're alive. You're a brand new creature, ready to live for Jesus. Amen? And that's what it means to be dead to self, alive in Christ. And that should be what happens, and it is what happens when you truly accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So when Christ comes into your life, He takes over, and He gives you energy. He gives you joy. He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives you resurrection power. Remember the Great Commission? Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Remember what Jesus said? And then He finishes the Great Commission after He says, go and make disciples and baptize and teach them to observe all things. He finishes it by saying, and lo, what? I am with you always. Again, He's with us always. You know what that means? We have His authority. We have His power. Resurrection power. Doesn't that excite you as a Christian to know that you have Christ in you? Not only that, you have His power. You have His authority. That means He gives us the authority to make disciples and win the everyday victories of life. He gives us the abundant life, the joyful life. Well, second, when Christ lives in you, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you. Salvation is Jesus coming into your life, and the only way you could lose your salvation would be for Jesus to leave you, right? Makes sense? But He promised He would never leave you. He would never forsake you. Listen to Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 8. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's speaking to His children in the Old Testament, but He's speaking to us as His children here in this day and time when we accept His Son Jesus. We are His children. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give to them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord Himself goes before you, and He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? Because Jesus is with you. He will never leave you. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Psalm 94:14 says, for the Lord will not reject His people. He will never forsake His inheritance. Joshua 1:5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember when Jesus talked about sending the Holy Spirit to represent Him to His disciples? This is what He said in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever. Now, how long is forever? Forever. He lives with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. When you are indwelt by the risen Christ, when you accept Jesus, you can be assured that He will never leave you or forsake you. In other words, Christ gives you security. Third, when Christ lives in you, He gives you strength and energy to live for Him. Strength and energy to live at work, to live at school, wherever you go. Paul wrote about this strength and energy right here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Look at verse 29. It says, to this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul refers to this mysterious power, this great power again when he wrote, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose in Philippians 2:13. I know sometimes you and I as Christians, we get frustrated trying to serve God, trying to obey God. And we will when we try to do it in our own strength. That's when we get frustrated. We're trying to do all this in our own strength, our own resources, our own might, our own power. We got to realize, turn it over to God. God will give us the energy, the strength, the resources we need. God will use His energy to help you accomplish what you need to do for Him. So it's not about giving our best. It's about surrendering our all to Him and letting Him live in us, His power, His strength. Again, when I became a Christian at 7, I didn't understand the secret to living the Christian life. I didn't understand about this dead thing. It wasn't explained to me, like I said, until I got to the 9th grade. And guess what, church? I'm still growing and I'm still learning today. But when I come to understand that I could not live the Christian life of my own strength, everything began to change. Those 7 words, Christ in you, the hope of glory, changed my life. And it will change your life. As Christians, we must understand that Jesus lives in us. And He wants to love people through us. He wants to forgive people through us. He wants to encourage people through us. And as we abide in Christ, we can do what? As we abide in Christ, we can do what? All things. All things. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But as we abide in Christ, we can do all things. Now, I got to tell you, there are times I still try to operate my own strength, and I have to stop and remind myself the greatest mystery of all time, dead to self, alive in Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I hope you'll remind yourself of that every day. So now you know, the greatest mystery of all time, the secret of living the Christian life is not trying harder, it's trusting more, trusting in Jesus. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory.